You got to chaf aleph amud amud chaf amud beis mishnah, right? Oh wait, no, you went to.
You got to the next part.
That's chaf aleph. Where is that?
Yeah.
Hakore on chaf aleph amud aleph.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Okay, so just in terms of Hatama, right, the third perek is it talks a little bit about the way you should read the Megillah. The main fix of the perek, you'll see the issues of Beis Knesset and Haftorahs, which continue in the fourth perek, and most of it is really not about Megillah at all. Yeah, this is very common, right? Mishnayos will often have Masechtos of Mishnayos will often have most of the Masechta be about what, well, the Masechta you would have thought is not. Okay? Tov. Hakore is a Megillah omed b'yoshev. Somebody can read the Megillah, whether he's sitting or standing, it makes no difference. It should be noted that, I don't know the reason why, but Rebbe Harani Karas Shkovo used to be very marked to stand all the way through Kriyas Megillah. Some people recommend that you just should stand so that you can concentrate better, right, so you don't fall asleep. Even missing a single word is a problem, right? Other people say there is a dea that you should because it's similar to a Darash Vikdusha, right? Megillah, at least in his Dambit Sibur, is similar to Halal, so maybe you should stand for that reason. Okay. Right? If one person read it, then that's fine. If two people read it, meaning, what does two people mean? It mean? Two people read it at the same time, together. That's not a problem. The reason why the Gemara will say why you might have thought it would be a problem is because maybe you won't be able to distinguish the words properly if you have two people reading exactly the same time. And that's not a problem. If there is, whatever is the minhag, right? Whether if the minhag is say a bracha with Kriyas Megillah, you say it. If the minhag is not say a bracha, don't say it. Our minhag is say a bracha both before and after. Basheni uvachamishi b'Shabbos b'mincha korim b'shloisha in both in mehen vein moisif in the land vein maftir v'nafi. Okay. Now we're moving on to a completely unrelated issue, which is really an issue of haftorahs, right? On Monday and on Thursday and on Shabbos at Mincha, we read three aliyahs from Torah, right? You cannot add more. You are not allowed to add more aliyahs if you want to. And ve'ein maftir v'navi, and you also don't say maftir. You don't say haftorah. Right? Three aliyahs, zeu. Yeah. Hapoich zeach ve'achoisem batorah mevarach lefanea ulacharea. Someone who starts reading the Torah, right? And somebody who finishes reading the Torah should say a bracha before and after. I'm going to leave that phrase unexplained because there's an issue here about the historical development of the Takana that we'll see in the Gemara, okay? In terms of how the brachas around Kriyas Torah works, I'm not going to explain it, I'm just translating the words for the moment. On Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, we have four aliyahs, not three. Right? And again, you cannot add aliyahs if you don't want to. We'll see in the Gemara the reason why. And we don't have a Haftorah again, right? The reasons will be explained, so I'll leave it at that for the moment. Same phrase. Somebody who begins the reading, somebody ends reading, should say a bracha before and after. This is a general statement. Anytime there is a musaf, right, there is musaf davening, but it's not a yom tov, meaning there's no iser melacha, right? We have four aliyos, not three, but also not. What do we do on Yom Tov? Five. On Yom Tov we have five aliyos, right? So not five. Four aliyos and not more, not less. So we're adding an extra aliyah because of Kedushas Hayom, but at the same time, we... planking. But at the same time, we don't add any more. Even though the Yom has an extra Kedusha, we don't add more than one Aliyah. All this will be significant soon. But Yom Tov Chamish on Yom Tov, we have five Aliyos. But Yom Kippurim Shish on Yom Kippur, we have six Aliyos. But Shabbos Shiva. On Shabbos, we have seven Aliyos. Ein Pochsin Mehen, you never have less. Aval Moisif in Aliyah, you can add more Aliyos. Right? This already becomes related to the question, how many Aliyos do we do in Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says 5, 6, and 7. We do really 6, 7, and 8, right? Because we have Maftir. No? So Maftir is a question that we'll see. It's related to a Gemara that comes up very soon, right, about how exactly you're meant to go about doing the Haftorah. Right, do you need the person who reads the Haftorah to have also read from the Torah? But the basic argument is that if you do, then you add an Aliyah because he needs to have an Aliyah, even though it's not counted among the number for the day. And if you don't, then there's no problem with adding on these days. There's no problem with adding Aliyahs on Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, yeah? Maftir menavin, there's a Haftorah. Once again, the same phrase. Somebody who begins the reading and somebody who ends reading. Then you can say the bracha. You say a bracha before and after. Okay, since we just talked a whole lot about Dinam of Kriyas Torah, I should note, right, there is a famous Machlokas Rishonim, right, is Kriyas Torah De'oraisa or De'rabbanan? It's actually related to the Gemara. If you remember, we saw at the beginning of the second Perek, which was about whether the Torah was written in every language or not. Right? If you look at Rashi on that Gemara, Rashi says reading from the Torah, I mean Kriyas Torah can be in every language. Right? For a Chacham, for a Rebbe who says the Torah was given in every single language, or Chacham, whatever, whoever ends up holding that, right? It's because the Torah, they mean the Kriya Torah can be in every language. Not the Torah can be written in every language. The Torah should be written only in Hebrew and Savashuris, but the Torah can be read in any language. You can translate as you go along. That's the idea, right? No. This is based on Drashos, right? The implication is that Rashi thinks that Kriyas HaTorah is De'oraisa. If you look at Tosus over there, Tosus say no, Kriyas HaTorah is not De'oraisa. There is one great De'oraisa Kriyas HaTorah every single year. Which one it is? Sorry? Very good. Zohar, which we're going to have very soon, right? Zohar is De'oraisa, say Tosus. Maybe Para, there's a suffix in Tosus, is Para De'oraisa or not? Para is when do we repurchase Para? Shabbos after Purim. Right, Zohar is a Shabbos before Shabbos, Para is a Para Shabbos after. As they say, maybe Para is Doraisa, and no other Kriyas Torah is Doraisa. Now, it should be noted, the Sefer Achinuch and many Rishonim Sfarad say not even Zohar is Doraisa, it's only Derabanan. Right, the mitzvah to remember is the mitzvah to remember, maybe a mitzvah to talk about it, but it's only not a mitzvah to read the period of Parasha from the Torah. Right, and then there is a fourth sheet in Rishonim, the Ritva, on that Gemara, if you're interested, says that what Rashi meant when he said the Kriyas HaTorah is Deraisa, he means on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because the pasuk says about Shabbos and Yom Tov, Elam Moadei Hashem Asher Tikra'u Oisam B'Moadam. So the symbol meaning of the pasuk is that you will call them, you will proclaim them, but the Ritva learns the pasuk, you will read them, B'Moadam, in their time. So there's a mitzvah Deraisa to read about the Moed. Okay, so that's the Ritva is being Matari Shitas Rashi. Okay, so there is a Shaila, it's Kriyas HaTorah De'oraisa De'rabbanan. Why is it important? Mainly to stress the importance of actually making it to Kriyas HaTorah. And if you are Lo Aleinu davening in the Yeshiva at 8, which I'm sure none of you have ever done so far in your time, Yeshiva nor will you do for the rest of your year here, of course. Because you all listen very carefully to our Moshe Sichas Musa about how you have to daven in the Beis Midrash. So do not leave before Kriyas HaTorah if it's on a Monday or a Thursday. Kriyas HaTorah is very important. There is at least one Rishon who says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Stay. Right? You can go to the Makot and pay then check before breakfast afterwards. Okay? Let's see there. It should be noted also as a personal story, right? Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Arini Kaparas Vishkova, you told me once that I asked him a shalat if it was mutter to go on holidays in a place there wasn't a minion. And so he told me, yes, but you have to go somewhere to find a minion on Monday and Thursdays. Because of Kriyas HaTorah. Right? And the same thing, and the Rav Zekertai Kavrachat, the same minag, when he would commute from Boston to to YU, he would miss Minion on Mondays and Thursdays. I mean, he would miss Minion almost every day, but he would get together a Minion just to read the Torah for him on Mondays and Thursdays, because he felt it was a chiyuv. Okay? Shkoyach. Let's go with the Gemara. Gemara, Tana, Masha ain keina b'Torah. Right? Masha ain keina b'Torah, what does that mean? That you don't sit when you're reading the Torah, right? You have to stand when you're reading the Torah. Who has to stand is a shtikl shayla, right? The simple implication, as you'll see, is going to be it's only the person who is reading. However, it is shita in Yerushalmi that everybody should stand, which is the reason why there's such a minhag exists for people to stand when they're listening to the Torah, not just when they're reading from it. Okay? Manai nemili, how do we know that you have to stand when you're reading the Torah, whereas Megillah you're actually allowed to sit? Amar Rabbi Avod, Amar Krav, Atapo Amodi Madib. As the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He tells Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, after Aseres Adibrois, right? Lechem Mor Lehem Shu Lechem Lechem. Go, all of you go and return to your tents. You've heard that there is a Dibros. We've had Matan Torah Gevaldik. Your part in this Zoda. Ve'ata po amodim adib. You stay and stand here with me. They can return to their tents, but you have to stand. I mean, so Ruz Amoid can just mean stay here. Right? Amoid can mean as opposed to moving away. But the Torah, we're learning it as it means actually standing. You have to stand for Kriyas Torah. Amam Rabbi Yehovah Yomalei Mikrokos V'Yashalam Rekiv Yachalav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'amida. Says Rabbi Yehovah, if a pasuk hadn't said this, it would be total clearer to say such a thing. Kav Yachal, it says, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing as well, right? You're standing with me, implying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also standing. No? Why is it impossible to say that? Why is it heretical to say it? Very good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand on account of not having a body. V'amar Rabbi Yehovah minayin le'rav shelo yeshev al gabei mita v'yishne l'tzal mito al gabei karka shne'emar v'atap o'yam o'yam adi. And therefore we have a halacha that a rav should not sit on a chair and teach a shiur while the people who are listening are on the floor, because v'atap o'yam o'yam adi, you have to, the person who's teaching, a Kodesh Baruch, and the person who's learning, Moshe Rabbeinu, have to be on the same level, and that applies for a rav and a talmud as well. Okay? Part of a general trend to compare a rav teaching a shir to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When we say that it says v'davakta bo, you're meant to cleave to God. The Gemara asks, how can you cleave to God in the Gemara and Sota? Isn't God a consuming flame? Eishechla, right? If you cleave to God, you get burnt, right? So what does it mean? Allah, right? The yedavik of atavei dechamim, you should cleave to Talmidei Chachamim. That's as though you're cleaving to God. Just one example, right? Yemora rabcha kemora shamayim, you should be afraid of your rav as you are afraid of heaven, etc. Right? We assume a rav teaching a shira is very similar in certain respects, only certain respects, kamavan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? This idea is very prominent. This is yet another manifestation of it. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Mi mois Moshe bad Rabban Gamliel loy hayu lamedim Torah ela me'umad. We have a brisa that says from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Rabban Gamliel, the Torah was never taught except standing. They only learned for teaching Torah. Right? Misha meis Rabban Gamliel. When Rabban Gamliel died, Yorad choli lo oyla ba yila made him Torah b'yoshav. Then people got sick. Right? Everybody got too weak. They couldn't stand for hours and hours, and then while they were learning, therefore they started sitting down, to learn Torah. Why is this very, very important? Firstly, note, when you're learning Torah, it is as though you are receiving the Torah on Har Sinai, because clearly that's what it's compared, that's the reason why you stand, right? That should be the attitude. It's a very important thing to keep in mind. In terms of COVID Rosh, in terms of taking it seriously, in terms of giving it kavod, and that's the second point, in terms of kavod, right? You will hear people sometimes say that you don't need to give kavod to Talmud Torah, you only need to give kavod to davening, right? The answer is no. Talmud Torah requires kavod exactly the same way, maybe even more. Okay? Fine. It says Vehainus Nan, and this is when the Haidus Nan, this is actually similar to a Mishnah which is in Soita. Mishemeis Rabban Gamliel batel kavod Torah. When Rabban Gamliel died, the kavod of Torah, the honor of Torah, disappeared. Right. Why we have two psukim. One says that I sat in the mountain, or I was, I mean, again, Shute Shomikri really means I was settled, right? I was there for a significant period of time. It means they're learning it as the simplest meaning of the words. I sat in the mountain, right? Another one says, and I stood in the mountain, right? Which could just mean I stayed in the mountain, but they're learning it that I stood literally. Amarav Omid Lomid Yoshev Shaina. What's the difference? When Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Torah, then he stood. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him things, he stood. But when he was repeating it to himself, when he was doing Chazara, then already he was allowed to sit down. But he wasn't learning new Torah. Okay? Rabbi Chanina Amar Lo Oymed Vele Yoshev Eila Shoicha. Rabbi Chanina says, no, he could even lie down when he was doing the Chazara. Chazara you can do lying down, but the original learning, standing, was what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Yeah? Rabbi Yochanan Amar in Yeshivel Ashena Kava Shneemar Vasei Shvu Bekadesh Yamim Rabbim. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He never sat down on Har Sinai. He was always learning Torah, and learning Torah you do standing, at least before Rabban Gamliel died, right? No, he was never sitting. What does Avahi mean? Yeshiva means a Kava. It means he stayed there for a significant period of time. He was settled there. Yeah? And how was a good proof? Because it says Vatei Shvu Bekadesh. And you sat, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Am Yisrael, you sat in Kadesh many days. Doesn't mean they were literally sitting their entire time they were in Kadesh. It means that they were settled in Kadesh. Right? Derech Agav, to this day, right, the Alon Shvut is a Yishuv. Right? The same use of language. Yishuv doesn't mean a place where people sit. It means a settlement. Right? A moshav, again, from the same shoresh. Okay? Yeshiva is a meeting. It doesn't mean that everybody's sitting necessarily, etc. Okay? Rava Abar, Rakois Me'umad Vekashois Be'yushav. What he was hearing, the very, very, very difficult piece of Torah that he was forced to sit down, but he didn't have the strength to endure it. Things like the Toichacha, he had to sit down, but the rest he would stand for. But it was too difficult to stand when he was hearing the really difficult Torah. Kra echad, kra ua, shnayim, yotzu, v'chule. Okay, now it's a quote from the Mishnah again. I'm sorry? Yeah? That the yeshiva, the word yeshiva, or vayeshev, right? Is not, or v'yashavti, doesn't mean that he was sitting. Literally, it means he stayed there for a significant period of time. He delayed there. He stayed there for a while. Yeah, that's what akava means. Okay? Right? Kera'ah echad kera'ah shnayim yatzu v'chule. The Mishnah says that if one person read it or two people read it at the same time, no problem. Tana. Ma she'ein kein v'torah. Once again, this is a distinction between Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah. With Kriyas HaTorah, two people are not allowed to read at exactly the same time. One person reads, everybody else listens. But with Megillah, two people can read at the same time, that's not a problem. Okay? Tanu Rabbanu, we have a brisa, but Torah echad korei ve'echad metargim uvilvad shel yehi'ah echad korei u'shnayim misargimim. We have a brisa. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, one person reads, and after that, another person will say what's called a targum. Does anybody know what targum is? No. Think about it. Opening your chumash, what's called targum? Very good. Targum is literally a translation into the vernacular, right? People didn't necessarily know Hebrew. Yeah? And therefore somebody was there to read the Aramaic, or to say out loud the Aramaic translation, which is Targum Onkelos. However, in reality, we know now they didn't necessarily use Targum Onkelos. All the Targum and Alamites are based on Targum Onkelos, because Targum Onkelos is easily the oldest. However, there are other Targumim. If you open Bar Ilan, right, the Responsa Project, it has two. It has Targum Yisrael, what it calls Targum Yisrael, which is in academic land called Targum Neofiti, right, because of where it was found. And there is Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, right, we have discussed this. There is a Targum, a translation of Torah into Aramaic, called Yonason Ben Uziel. It was not written by Yonason Ben Uziel. I don't know who wrote it. It wasn't written by Yonason Ben Uziel. The reason why I know is because it references the Muslim conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Right? It talks about the wives of Ishmael, who just coincidentally happen to have exactly the same names as the wives of Muhammad. Right? It talks about the Dome of the Rock. It happened after the Dome of the Rock was built, meaning late 700s at the absolute earliest. Yonasan ben Uzziel was a Tana who was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. Right? Meaning he lived in the first century of the Common Era. So it can't be that it was written by the same person. Kanireh, it's a misattribution. Yonasan ben Uzziel did write the Targum on Nach, which on Nevi'im, sorry, which we saw, if you remember, in the first parak. Yeah? Okay. Anyway, it appears that in Eretz Yisrael and in Ashkenaz, there were many Targumim that were used. They didn't. The standardization of using Targum Onkelos was true, however, in Sfarad, in Sephardi communities in North Africa and in Spain, right? And before the Targum was dispensed with completely, it sort of became more common in Ashkenaz in the 11th and 12th centuries. And in addition, it was also, to this day, they use Targum Onkelos in Yemenite communities. If you go into a Yemenite community for Kriyas Torah, they'll do one pasuk, they'll read a pasuk in Hebrew, and they'll read Targum Onkelos. They'll read the next pasuk in Hebrew, and again, Targum Onkelos. Okay? Fine. The Navi, when it comes to Haftarah, one person can read, and then you can have two people who are reading the Targum at the same time. We're not as worried that people will miss words in Navi as we are in Torah. However, even in Haftarah, two people may not read at the same time. Only two people can read the Targum at the same time. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. Uveh Halel Megillah, and when it comes to Halel and Megillah, afil Vasara Korim Vasara Targumim. When it comes to reading Halel and reading Megillah, right? 10 people can read at the same time, and 10 people can read a Targum at the same time, and that is not a problem. Right? My timer. Why? Kevan de Chaviva, because it's something that people really like listening to. Yavidatayu Veshami. People pay a lot more attention, and therefore are not worried that even if there are multiple reading at exactly the same time, people will miss words. Okay? Okay. Now, Rashi, it says, the Gemara says Asara Korin or Asara Mitargimin, right? Rashi immediately eliminates the word Mitargimin. Why? No, based on what we learned in the first parak, why? No. The Rashi... V'asara mitargamin. Towards the top of the Amud. No, because there's no such thing. Right, there's no Taranembra, Yonasan ben Uzziel. It says, wanted to create a Targum for Ksuvim. Right? Both Halel and Megillah are part of Ksuvim. Megillah is one of the Chamesh Megillahs. It's in part of Ksuvim. And Halel is in Tehillim. It's also part of Ksuvim, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you've revealed enough of my secrets. Don't reveal anymore. Yeah? Why? Because Sefer Daniel is in Ksuvim, and Sefer Daniel has a secret of when Mashiach is going to come, said Rashi. Right? But, right, therefore, he cuts out the word Vasara Metargamim. If you don't cut out the word Metargamim, then what it means is that it doesn't mean, it already means not a translation, it really means an explanation. Meaning you're just explaining what thing's going on. There are some people who say that's really what, remember what we read in the first parak? Sort of the pasuk by pasuk explanation of the Megillah? It might have started off as various people doing Targumim. Right? Right, meaning you can have people explaining the Megillah in the middle, and that's not necessarily a hefsek. I'm not saying do it lamaisa, it's certainly not the minhag. I'm saying that is how many people learn this tomorrow. Okay? Shkoyach, gentlemen, we'll continue. Please go tomorrow.